This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Taking a look at World Ag News this morning, reports from Chinese media indicate the nation will scrap its corn stockpiling scheme. Pro Farmers First Thing Today reports that China will eliminate its 9-year-old corn stockpiling scheme and will instead allow the market to determine domestic corn prices. A Chinese television station reports that China will directly subsidize farmers and stop stockpiling grain beginning this fall. Beijing has made no official announcement regarding any such change, though there has been talk the country would shift to a more market-driven policy. China currently holds massive state reserves that form the largest corn stockpile in the world. And now looking at national ag news, Vermont's Attorney General recently issued an enforcement memo on the state's GMO labeling law that takes effect on July 1st. Vermont Attorney General William Sorrell said last week that while the law takes effect in July, all products must be properly labeled by January 1st of 2017. The enforcement delay grants products on store shelves in July a safe harbor in regards to their shelf life. In a statement, the Attorney General said unless there's evidence that a manufacturer distributed a mislabeled product after July 1st of 2016, they will not bring an enforcement action or seek fines for those products. Any products distributed before the law takes effect this July will not be pursued as a violation if the product remains on store shelves past the start of 2017. However, any labeled product distributed after July 1st will be subject to the fines. As the U.S. Senate continues its two-week Easter recess this week, the time and prospects of creating a national GMO labeling standard appear to be diminishing, making it more likely that the Vermont law will take effect in July. And now for some local ag news. A woman in Bond County started her own business from the experience she had as a child watching her grandpa and dad sell tractors. Sherry Schaefer of Greenville produces two magazines under her publishing company known as 3Point Inc. The magazines, titled Oliver Heritage and Heritage Iron, feature information and stories about tractors. When I learned about 3Point Inc., I wanted to know more about Sherry and how her journey with tractors began. I guess the best way to get started is to have you tell us a little about yourself, where you grew up, and just some information about you and your family.
Okay. Well, I was actually born in Granite City, but we moved to Greenville when I was just a baby. And I grew up hanging around with my dad. His name is Oliver because his father was an Oliver dealer. So the Oliver line is kind of in my blood, literally. Grew up here playing with tractors, and later we went on to build tractor pull sleds, and we ran pulling sleds all across the United States. And so I learned a lot about tractors doing that. And when we finished up with the sleds, I wrote a story for a magazine, and a year later they made me their editor, and I worked for them for about 10 years, and then I stepped out on my own. I created my first magazine, which was called Oliver Heritage. And then I started a second magazine a few years later and formed the parent company, which is 3Point Inc., to kind of be the business to oversee everything. So that's how I got where I'm at in a nutshell.
Yes, and we have much more to talk about. Now, you mentioned being around your grandpa and your dad. So talk a little bit about your grandpa having his dealership and share with us some memories you have of that.
Well, Grandpa's dealership was in Granite City. It was at his home place. He started there in 1936 as a dealer. When Dad came along, they had just got a shipment of Oliver signs in from the dealer, and Grandpa was running around the farm, nailing them up to trees and fence posts, and Grandma was expecting at the time, and she said, "Are you going to nail one on the kid when it gets here, too?" And so they did, and his name is Oliver. He grew up in the dealership, and they went in. In the 50s, I think it was early 1950, they started a dealership in Hamel. And if you know where the bank is now, it's right there at the stop sign on 66 and 140. That building was actually the old Oliver dealership that Grandpa started there. And we got out of the Oliver business probably in about 1970. And, you know, I grew up with Dad in a dealership here in Greenville, at Bond Equipment. And as a youngster, I didn't do much work on the tractors. I was more the kid that was riding a pedal tractor around on the showroom floor. But I spent a lot of time with Dad working there at the shop, and still have fond memories of Bond Equipment every time I drive by the dealership in Greenville.
So you went from your family, dealing tractors and, working with the equipment, and now you're writing about it. So I guess tell us how your passion got started, being around it as a kid and then to now basically being an author and writing publications.
Yeah, I really don't know how that happened. But I guess just being around it, being exposed to it all my life, and I just... sitting back there on the pulling sled, you're going down the track, back and forth, all day long, and there's an announcer up there, and he's talking about the tractors throughout the pull, and somehow all that stuff just kind of stuck in the back of my mind. And after I wrote the first story for a magazine, it was just an interest story about an Oliver, and I just happened to know the topic I was talking about. And when they asked me to become their editor, I'm like, no, I haven't had any journalism skills. I didn't go to school for this. Yeah, I'm just a tractor geek. And they convinced me to do it. And I guess just all that exposure through all those years and being passionate about it and having a good mechanical knowledge, knowing how equipment works, and that just all pieced together. And I was able to sit here in front of this computer, and I can type up some stories and at least act like I know what I'm talking about. But it's worked out very well. I think part of what makes an author good is really knowing their subject matter, knowing what they're talking about, and knowing who you're talking to so that you can put it into the words that they understand. It's not too technical, and it's not dumbed down. You have to consider who you're talking to and just sit there like you're talking to them. Like we're doing now.
Sure. Well, and you said when you were a kid, being at the dealership, you weren't really helping to work on the tractors, but now you're writing about possibly how they work and the mechanical side of things. So now do you have any experience with maybe restoring old tractors?
Oh, yeah. More than I want. I mean, even though I was around Dad at the dealership, I was a little kid then. But as soon as we left the dealership, Dad had his own tractor salvage yard and always restored tractors, and I was always right there alongside of him. So I've probably got more tools than any girl should be allowed to have, but I work on all my own equipment, and I think I've got 8 tractors of my own, and each one of them has a different job, and if they break, I fix them. That's just the way I was raised.
We'll continue our story with Sherry today during the Noon Farm Show, but in the meantime, if you'd like to pick up a copy of one of her magazines, Sherry said they're sold over-the-counter at Rural Kings, Tractor Supply Companies, and Farm and Fleets across the country. And that's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.